Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shalach. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Shalach. Neiman Novetzky is a member of the Pardes faculty, and now Neiman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha, Parshat Shalach, focuses mainly on the sin of the spies. In this podcast, though, I wanted to look at just five words in the Parsha. Words which relate to an issue, however, that have been discussed by commentator for pages upon pages. The issue of collective punishment, or perhaps more specifically, of visiting the sins of the fathers on the sons. In our Parsha, as Moshe prays for forgiveness after the sin of the spies, he invokes the 13 attributes of God. In the midst of the list, he speaks of this mode of Hashem's administering of justice. He says, "V'lo yinake poked avon avot al banim va'al bnei banim al shilishim va'aribeim." Hashem visits the sins of the fathers on the sons and on the sons' sons for three or four generations. This same exact description is also found in the Decalogue after the prohibition against making other gods. Hashem says, "Lo tishachav elehem v'lo tavdim," don't worship them. "Kenochi Hashem elokecha," because I am the Lord your God. "Kel kana," a vengeful God. "Poked avon avot al banim al shilishim va'aribeim l'sonai." Again, the same term, Hashem visits the sins of the fathers on the sons. Interestingly, the context of these two different verses are very different. In the first, the concept of poked avon avot comes in the middle of a request for mercy. Moshe is praying for forgiveness for the sin of the spies. In contrast, in the Decalogue, it comes in the midst of a discussion of potential punishment. Don't bow down to other gods because I am a God who visits the sins of the fathers on the sons. This alone makes us question, how are we supposed to view this concept of poked avon avot? Is it somehow related to mercy, or is it an attribute of God's justice? Either way, of course, the issue raises many theological questions, because a simple reading of the concept is that Hashem is punishing the sinner's descendants in place of the sinner himself. One wonders, is it possible that Hashem has no problem with innocent children suffering for sins that they didn't commit? In addition, even though in Tanakh there are many cases of collective punishment, in most of them, the group suffers along with the individual, and the punishment is given horizontally to include other people who are alive at the time of the infraction. By us, though, we're talking about people who are being punished who live in subsequent generations. The punishment is being extended vertically to give later generations a punishment for crimes that they might not have been even alive to witness. Finally, even collective punishment only widens the circle of those punished, but it doesn't absolve the sinner himself. Yet, in our verses, it seems to imply that the sinner himself will escape personal harm, and he'll only be punished vicariously through his descendants. And so we must ask, how does any of this manifest divine justice? Our two verses, of course, are not the only ones in which Hashem's mode of justice are discussed. Elsewhere, other principles are laid out, and they actually seem to conflict with what we have just read. For example, in Devarim Zayin, we read about Hashem administering justice to those who have sinned against him, and he says, "Umishalim l'sonav el panav l'havido lo ya'acher." Hashem will pay back to his enemies to wipe them out, and he will not delay. This suggests that there's no such thing as deferring justice to later on, whereas, of course, our verses seem to be all about the deferring of justice to the next generation. Furthermore, in Devarim Chav Dalet, we have a pasuk that seems to be the exact opposite of our pasuk. There it says, "Lo yumtu avot al banim, uvanim lo yumtu al avot." Fathers shall not be killed for their sons, and sons shall not be killed for their fathers. Rather, ish bechatzo yumatu, each man for his own sin shall be killed. This, of course, leads us to wonder, so what does the Torah believe? Do we visit the sins of the fathers on the sons, or does each person die for his sins alone? And of course, if we do say that Hashem's mode of justice includes visiting the sins of the fathers on the son, how do we understand the justice in that? What we'll do for the next bunch of minutes is look at several different approaches to these questions, starting with people who say that, yes, Hashem's mode of justice does include being poked avon avot abanim. The sins of the parents are sometimes visited on the children. Rabbi Wolf, in his commentary to Sefer Vayikra, tries to explain why this is. L'chein amarti ani b'libi she'enyan kachu. He says, what I've thought in my head, in my heart, is that the matter is such. Yadua l'chol maskil, every enlightened person knows, ki ha'mavet ba'atzmo eino rakla la'nefesh, asher titzei v'chavshi, ki hi ha'chlif olam over bo'olam omeid. He says, everyone knows that death itself isn't bad at all for the soul, for that soul is going free. It is simply switching this static world for the enduring world of the world to come. Ach, el hakrovim, but for the people who are relatives of that deceased, ubifrat el haavot, and specifically to the fathers, hura ma'od, death is very evil. Kiru b'gvoa acheihem ubimot b'nehem asher tafchu v'ravu v'hem yisharu gamud v'shomein. Because in the death of their brothers and the death of their kids, they suffer. And they're the ones who remain alone and depressed. And he says, and therefore I say, that the matter of visiting the sins of the fathers on the sons, and therefore it is possible that sometimes Hashem punishes somebody by killing off his kids, his grandchildren, and perhaps even until the fourth generation, because it is his punishment that he should see them die. What the Ma'amir, what Rabbi Wolf says, is that, yes, sometimes the worst punishment for a person is that he will see his children die. He says, don't see this as being unjust to the children themselves. This isn't a matter of being unjust, because those children are moving to a better world. Death itself, he says, is not problematic for the person who dies. It's only problematic for the people who remain behind. Rabbi Wolf's suggestion fits very well with those that believe that recompense comes in the next world and not in this world. What happens to you in this world shouldn't be viewed as your reward. Your ultimate reward only comes in the world to come. And thus, a person who dies here should not see that as cutting off his life, losing out on something in this world, because he's going to be getting the world to come. And he says, therefore, one must view the punishment of poked avon avot as the ultimate in vengeance on a parent who has sinned. He, of course, is viewing the sins only as sins that are capital crimes, because we're talking about, obviously, death as a punishment. And he says, in such a case, a parent who has done some type of a capital crime, he says, what is Hashem saying? The worst possible punishment I can give him is to kill off his kids. And in this case, the Ma'amir actually goes as far as to say that actually we're not just making him suffer for killing off his kids, but we're killing off his entire line. He's going to see in his lifetime his son and his grandchildren and perhaps the next generation all die while he remains alive. That, he says, is the ultimate justice on the parent and no loss for the one who actually died. Of course, this works only if we understand that the verses of poked avot are limited to capital crimes, which is actually a very plausible read, since both of the contexts in which we read that verse are talking about the potential for death. The sin of idolatry is, of course, a capital crime. When Moshe is davening for the people after the sin of the spies, he's trying to avert a punishment of death. And so that is definitely a fitting read. But of course, it's also making a statement about how you view death and whether death is a punishment for the one who is dying as well as the other people, or just for those that remain behind. The Ma'amir would have one big difficulty, however, which is, if this is all about vengeance and the ultimate punishment, why in the world would Moshe be including it in his prayer for forgiveness for the people after the sin of the spies? This perhaps leads Shaddai to take a similar but very different approach. He too agrees that sometimes the sins of the parents are visited on the children, and he too agrees that the worst punishment you can give a parent is to hurt their child. He, though, does not limit it to capital crimes, and in fact suggests that we're talking about crimes that are less severe with punishments that are less severe. He says, V'halokim asa shir'u milefanav, כי כל אב אוהב את זרעו, והדאגה שמא חטאיו יביאו רעות גם לבניו, תעצרנו עם מעט ועם הרבה, מלכת תמיד בשרירות ליבו. He says, Hashem is doing this so that people will fear him. Because every father loves his kids, and the worry lest his sins bring evil upon his children will stop him, be it a little or be it a lot, from going in the path of the fallacies of his own heart. As opposed to the Ma'amer, who is reading the concept of Pokeinu v'Navot al-Banim as being a concept of vengeance and punishment, Shaddai says, actually, the whole concept is supposed to be a deterrent to sin. Hashem is telling a parent, no, if you sin, sometimes it's not you who will suffer, but rather your kids instead will suffer for you. He says that will be a huge disincentive for a parent to sin. And that's the ultimate purpose of this issue. Nonetheless, he still has to deal with the fact, but yes, it's a disincentive, but what if a person does sin and therefore he sees that his kids are suffering? Aren't the kids suffering for no fault of their own? So he answers, אבל הרע הזה הבעל הבנים בעוון אבותם איננו רע מוחלט ומתמיד. He says, don't think that the punishment that comes to the kids because of the sin of the father is some type of entire, total evil, something that will be constant with them. כי הוא יחאיב ויחבוש. Because Hashem might cause harm, but he also knows how to bandage. כללו של דבר, he says, the bottom line is, פקידת עוון אבות הבנים איננו להינקה מן הרשע. He says, the point of Hashem's visiting the sins of the fathers and the sons is not to go and take vengeance for someone who did evil. It is not to punish. אלא להועיל לבני אדם לבלתי יחטאו. Rather, its purpose is to try to prevent people from sinning to begin with. ולפיכך איננו באמת מקלקל את שורת הדין, and it really doesn't distort justice. בנו של הרשע, אם שכל ישקול רעתו וטובתו שבוא אליו מיום היוולדו עד יום מותו, because if the son of an evil person who has been punished for his father's sins goes at the end of his days and weighs up all of the good that was given to him and all of the bad from the time that he was born until the time that he died, יוודא כי לא נעשה עמו עוול חס וחלילה. He will find out that actually he's gotten his just due. Nothing has been done to him that wasn't fair. According to Shaddai, the reason this isn't unjust for the son is that, yes, at some point in his life, after the father does some type of a sin, he will get punished for his father's sin. And yes, to some extent that is unfair, he says. But he says this punishment will not be something that's unbearable. And moreover, later on in his life, at some other point, he will get rewarded when he perhaps doesn't deserve to, and it will even out. So what Shaddai is suggesting is that, yes, sometimes a person will get punished for his father's sins. A father will see that and learn from it, and it will prevent him in the future from doing some future sin, knowing that he's harming his kid. But the son himself won't end up suffering if you balance out all of the rewards and all the punishments he got together. They will actually fit all together, his goodness or his badness, so that he's actually getting his just due all together. Both of these approaches, of course, have to deal with how do you understand the psukim in Dvarim, which seems to suggest that Hashem doesn't visit the sins of the fathers on the sons, but rather, ish b'chatzo yumatu, a person is killed only for his sins that he himself did. Chances are both of these commentators would suggest that the verse in Dvarim is not talking about Hashem's mode of administering justice, but human courts. A human cannot go and kill a father for his son or a son for his father, but must rather judge each person according to their own sins. Because unlike Hashem, according to Shaddai, a human can't go and measure and even things out afterwards, right? If Hashem is going to even things out so that the son at the end of the day will get exactly his due, a person can't do that. And so the Psukim and Devar might be talking about human modes of justice, which are different perhaps from that of Hashem. Another set of commentators suggest that the idea of Pokeinu avot is not a case where children are punished instead of their parents, but rather that there's collective and not vicarious punishment. They're punished together with their parents. Rav Yitzchak Aram of the Akidat Yitzchak suggests ואומר פקיד עוונבות, יאמר שעניין זה הנשיאות הוא שינשא עונש העוונות והחצאים מהאבות לבנים עד דור רביעי, באופן שהם יישאו את עוונם ולא יחלה השורש. רב יצחק הרמה, in contrast to the ma'amer, suggests that actually pokeid avonavot is not just something that's just. It's actually something that's merciful. It's not coming to punish at all, but to ease the burden of punishment. He says that when we say pokeid avonavot, what are we doing? We are carrying the punishment of the father to the children through four generations so that they can help him bear his punishment. The lo yichle hashoresh and the roots will therefore not be uprooted. V'hu tov lehem, and that's going to be good for the children. She'im kala hashoresh, because had the roots been cut off, lo yisha'er lo shumanaf, there would not be any branches left over. The Akidat Yitzchak here also is referring to a case where a person deserves some type of a capital punishment. And what Hashem has decided is that instead of cutting off the person who did the sin in such a manner that once he dies, he can no longer continue his line, Hashem instead distributes the punishment. The concept of pokeid avonavot is distributive punishment. Let's ease the burden of punishment on the person who deserves it by scattering little bits and pieces of that punishment throughout the next few generations so that this person doesn't have to die, but instead he gets 10%, his kid gets another 10%, his second kid gets 10%. Everyone bears a little bit of the punishment so that he doesn't die. Because had he died, the rest of the children would never have been born. He says, "V'lezehu midat rachmanut." This is an attribute of mercy. Lefi mekoma, as its placement would suggest. Zetam shezachra Moshe b'meraglim. This is the very reason where Moshe mentions it in the sinners of the spies. Lehavir ketzav hachlayah ha'gmura. He says, because he had to make sure Hashem wasn't going to totally destroy the people. Instead, what does Hashem do? He spreads the punishment over 40 years. The nation is no longer in jeopardy of being decimated because in those 40 years, they can bear more and more children and continue the line. For the Akedat Yitzchak, this is an attribute of mercy. It's a distributing of justice to ease the burden of the person who sinned. The assumption, of course, is that it's fair to the children, even though, yes, they're suffering when they didn't need to. If the alternative was never to have been born, of course then, most people would prefer life with a bit of suffering over no life at all. One could take the same direction of the Akedat Yitzchak, but suggest even if we're not talking about a punishment of death, but even if we're just talking about some severe punishment, many people would be willing to bear the burden of someone else's suffering that they love in order to ease that person's suffering, even if it means that they're suffering more than they need to, just to ensure that the original person can stand it and withstand the pain that they would otherwise have been forced to take. Rabag also agrees that we're talking about collective rather than vicarious punishment, a punishment which is shared and not just given to the sons instead of the parents. But he reads it in a very different way. For him, we're talking about collateral damage. He gives it an analogy. He says, Im chata adam lemalchut, had a person sinned against the government, va'onsho bedin la'avod mamono, and his punishment, according to the court system, had been to lose a certain amount of his money, hine yagia mize onesh lebanav. He says, naturally, his children are going to share in that punishment. She'yu aniyim, because they're going to be poor. V'lo yishu davar minechazei avihim. If their father lost all his money, they're not going to inherit anything because there's nothing to inherit. He suggests that's perhaps what Hashem is saying here when he says that he's pokeid avonavot al banim. This is just a natural consequence of sinning. What Hashem is telling people is that if you sin and you get punished, recognize that there's collateral damage. Your punishment is going to necessarily affect your children. In the example he gave, if you steal and as such are forced to go and give off all of your money and you become poor, there's no way that your kids aren't going to suffer as a result. They're not suffering instead of you. They're suffering because of you, not because Hashem is actively going and giving them a punishment, but rather because that's the natural way of collateral damage. This works with Rabag's view of Hashem's providence, where he gives forth a much more natural way of Hashem watching over the people, allowing for this type of natural collateral damage. That Hashem doesn't always look at every single individual and make sure that they get what they do, but sometimes nature takes its course. Sometimes, yes, you do something and it will have an effect on your children. That shouldn't be seen as unjust. That's just the natural consequences of your action. In the few minutes that we have remaining, I just wanted to look at two people who suggested actually our verses are not talking about collective punishment at all. Rav Reggio suggests, V'achshov ki'al kol panim habanim atzmam hem chachotim. He says, our verse isn't saying that the father sin and the children suffer. Our verses are saying that the sons themselves are the sinners. V'lachin b'tzedek yifkod hakel aleihem havonot she'asu hem atzmam. And of course, therefore it's justice that they should suffer for their own sins. The obvious question, of course, is, but if it's their own sins, why are they called avon avot? Why are they called the sins of the fathers? He answers, Achim korel avonam b'shem avon avot. The pasuk refers to their sins as the sins of the fathers. Lefi shehakatuv midaber ba'avon shelamdu habanim me'avotam. He says, because the pasuk is talking about a sin that these children learned from their fathers. According to Rav Reggio, there is simple justice going on in our verse. The sons are the ones who sin. The sons are the ones who are punished. Why, though, are they referring to the sins of the fathers? He says, because the verse is talking about a very specific sin that the son does. When a son sins, because he has learned such behavior from his father, Hashem says, in that case, too, he should be punished. Meaning, if this is just a simple case of tit for tat, you sin, you get punished. Well, why is the pasuk telling us this at all? Rav Reggio suggests, what a person might think? A person might think, well, I have an excuse. I didn't know any better. That's how I was brought up. That's what my father taught me, right? I act in this way because that's what we did in my house. Comes Rav Reggio and says, no. Even if it's a sin that you learned from your father, know that you yourself are still culpable. And that's what this principle is coming to teach. Of course, in order to get to this, just methodologically, we should look at what Rav Reggio is doing. He's reinterpreting the phrase avon avot. There's a midrash, Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer, that uses a similar methodology, but instead of reinterpreting the words avon avot, it reinterprets what we normally, the word poked, which we normally translate as visit, and suggests that that's perhaps not the only translation that would fit in our verse. He says, Ve'ezohu midat rachamim, toleh la'av ad arba dorot. He says, this is a midat of rachamim, this is an attribute of mercy. What is the pasuk telling us? The pasuk is telling us that we are hanging the father for four generations. In other words, Hashem is deferring the punishment of the father for four generations. Poked, he's suggesting, is that Hashem is remembering. Okay, this is how the word is actually used elsewhere in Tanakh. Hashem is not visiting the sins of the fathers on the sons. Hashem is remembering the sin of the fathers for the sons for four generations. And why is he waiting for four generations? Why is he just watching over this sin and not yet punishing it for four generations? She'im haya echam min ha'arba dorot tzadik, harei ha'av nitzal. He says, what's Hashem doing? Hashem is watching to see, what are the descendants of this sinner like? If even one of the four generations that come after him is righteous, by the merit of that righteous descendant, the father will be saved. Lo nimtza echam min ha'arba dorot tzadik. If, on the other hand, not one of these four generations is found to be a tzaddik, kol achad ve'achad nitpas ha'ma'asav, each one will be punished for his own sins. Shelo tomar poked avon avot lashon ketzefu. Don't think that this attribute of poked avon avot is an attribute of anger or of justice. Ela tzeoman mishlosh esrei midot she'atorah nidreshet behem, davar halamud minyano. You should know from the context that it must have been some attribute of mercy. So the Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer here is saying, don't read poked to mean that he visits the sins of the fathers on the sons. Rather, he watches over the sin of the father for four generations to see, is there anything that we can use as a merit so that he will no longer merit the punishment, but rather be saved because, look, he's brought forth righteous descendants. I've given you an entire spectrum of approaches to the subject. Over Shabbat, what you might want to do is look at how do these each apply to all the various cases in Tanakh where we seem to see cases of either collective or vicarious punishment? Do the different approaches work with each of those cases? How would we apply each one to all the different instances in Tanakh? With that, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Nima. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.